Anyway, turning your Bibles to the last chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16. Get that in one hand, and then get Ephesians chapter 3 in the other hand. Romans chapter 16, Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. We'll see what the Lord has for us today. We'll just read a few verses here in Romans chapter 16. Let's begin in verse 25. The Bible says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." I'm going to preach on revelation today, not the book of Revelation, but how God reveals things to us. And that verse is so important. It says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Isn't that an interesting statement? The Bible goes on and says, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." A lot of places in the Bible that deal with this subject. Ephesians chapter 3 is another one. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1 there, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." It's the same thing that he's saying in the book of Romans. And it says, "As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So it wasn't made known before, but it's revealed now. God has revealed that through the scriptures. "We find that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promising Christ by the gospel." The gospel is mentioned again. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. But it's also a little deeper than that, and I'll just give you something to do maybe later. Romans chapter 11 deals a lot with this. But the Bible goes on and says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I believe Paul says that, and I mentioned that before when we were speaking, that he said, "My speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." It's not the human instrument, it's what God is doing through the human instrument. We're all sinners, amen? We're all weak, we all fall. "But a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again," but it still calls him a just man. Interesting. The Bible says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." God reveals these things that we might know. In Timothy, the Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And that's, then it goes on and tells all these other things. It is a great mystery, but God has made that known unto us. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, what an amazing thing to open your word. This book is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can speak to every one of us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister. I pray you'd use this weak instrument, this vessel. And God, fill me and use me for your glory. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever get confused about something? Is there anything you don't know? And then maybe you don't understand, and all of a sudden, like the comic strips, this light bulb comes on, you know, and there it flashes. Oh, I get it. I have a friend, and whenever we talk about something and finally he sees something or I see something, he always goes, "I see, I see." You know who I'm talking about. But anyway, you see it. You finally get it. You understand it. I remember when my wife and I were new converts and we would go to church. Is there a ringing in this? There's a little bit of a ring in this. And either that or my ears are going bad. But when we were new converts, we would go to church. And it was so exciting because we would go to church. And we had our religious upbringing, you know, but we weren't Christians. We had never accepted the Lord. And when the Lord is in you, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And so He speaks to us. But we would sit there, and maybe it's something we talked about. Maybe, I don't know, something that we were just thinking about. But all of a sudden, you would get it. And we'd look at each other and, wow, you know. And we couldn't wait to get back to church again to learn something else, you know, because God chose that. I had a friend of mine, I think I've mentioned him before. His name was Glenn. And Glenn lived next door to the church. And I invited him, and he said if he ever came, the roof would fall in. But he did come. He came to church. He sat in the back, and you're familiar with the story. But I had visited him after he came, and we talked for hours, literally hours. And we're both crying when I left because Glenn wanted to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He said, "I just can't believe it." And so I said, "Well, I'll be praying for you." And we hugged, and I came home. He came to church, and in the middle of the service, Glenn, all of a sudden, his eyes got wide, and he started shaking his head. And he said, "I get it." And he came and he got saved that day. That wasn't anything I did. That's what God did. Amen? And God has to open that up many, many times. Spiritually, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a light. It shows us where we're going. Paul prayed for the believers that they would be enlightened in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light shine. God is the light, and then He gives us the light, and then that light of Christ comes through and shows people. I think it was Job, he said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." A lot of times we hear things and we don't get it. We don't understand it. I mean, there's so much of the Bible that's so deep, but God reveals things over and over as we read it. Amen? And that's how we grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm told to preach the Word, and as I preach the Word, the light bulb comes on. You may not understand everything I preach. I don't understand everything I preach. I'm just reading the sermon that I got offline today. And, you know, I don't get the whole thing. But anyway, preach the word. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. The Spirit. It's a lot deeper than the words I speak, because the Spirit will guide you into all truth. And John 17:17, thy word is truth. Think of the prodigal when he finally came to himself. He really thought, well, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to take my inheritance. And he went out and wasted it on riotous living. And we haven't done that, but he did. And all of a sudden, in the hog pen, he comes to himself. What a revelation. Amen? And the revelation was not just about him. The revelation was about his Father and how good his Father was and what's in his Father's house. He says, "Man, my Father, if I went back, I'd have bread enough and to spare." And so he started going home. "And unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." He got home and it was exceeding abundantly above all that he asked or thought. God, for his Father, forgave him, and they had a party. What a revelation. The centurion who's watching the occasion of the cross and all the things that are being done to the Lord and the things that are spoken and how people mocked him and spit on him, etc., etc. But then something happened and he saw the power of God. And he said, this was a hardened Roman soldier. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." God did that. No man revealed that to him, but God did. You have in the Bible the Apostle Paul. He was called Saul of Tarsus. He was a very religious man. But Paul said that God saved him, but before he got saved, he was a murderer. He was injurious. He did terrible things against the cause of Christ. He had men put in prison, people killed, families separated. But later on, Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. His whole life changed. His whole mind changed. His whole goal in life, his whole purpose in life changed because he saw something. Amen? And, you know, we come to church and religion, I mean, it's all over the world. There's all kinds of religions. And when we talk about the Christian religion, there's a lot of it, you know. But it ought to change our lives. It ought to fill us. It ought to be just as exciting as when we were new converts. When we come to church and what am I going to hear today? And when we open the Bible in the morning and spend our time with the Lord, he wants to reveal things to us. Amen? If you read Psalm 23 every morning for a year, God would still speak to you every morning. In just those few verses, he's such a good God. Today, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. But in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. So we're supposed to be more ready to hear than to speak. Amen? So as we come to listen. And think of the counsel you will get today. We're going to give counsel from John, from Paul, from Isaiah, from Peter, right? From Luke, and from the Lord. Because these are the verses. These are the words that are being spoken to us by these people. And it's a good commentary. It's the Word of God. What a blessing that is. So as we get into the message today, let God reveal something, because he will. And your mind ever wander? Hey, out there. Your mind ever wander? Okay. You know, I mean, and it does. And we think about all these different things. Who do you think's doing that? You know? It's like when the seed goes out and that bird comes. The Bible is right on the money and takes away the seed before it can bear fruit or grow. That's the devil. You know, the birds of the air. Revelation, the book of Revelation, think what a great title for a book in the Bible, because it reveals the end times. But Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show. The revelation was given to show something, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. God reveals truth in his word to show us the path. We have in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 7, Paul said this, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In a mystery. So the wisdom of God is spoken, but it's in a mystery. It takes God to open that understanding, to open our heart. In the same chapter, verse 8, the Bible says about that wisdom about Christ, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, but they didn't know. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. So there's things we don't know, and you don't even know from reading a book or this or that, even sometimes the Bible. But when God opens the scriptures, when God opens our understanding, then the light bulb comes on. Amen? And it means quite a bit. Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible that we have is not man's word, it's God's word. God put his word into their minds and they wrote it down. You have Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He reveals things to the humble because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So he's revealed that unto babes. You don't have to be a scholar here today. Sometimes knowledge puffeth up. Sometimes you know too much or think you know too much. I know in my ministry, and I've been pastoring a long time, it seems like the longer I live, the less I know. There are the deep things of God. And I know the doctrines, and I know this, and but when God speaks, there's so much you see every day. Every day you just open that book and you go, wow, I never saw that before. And if you say today, I have no idea what you're talking about, just get in that book, you know, because it's fabulous. It's fascinating. Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. I know it's a lot of verses, amen, but I didn't have time to study. So I just put a bunch of verses down. Same old jokes, right, Nancy? Right, Teresa? Kim? Same old jokes. Okay. Thanks for paying attention. Amen. John 14:9. Philip, prior to this, says, Jesus, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. Bang. What a truth to teach Philip, because he was so analytical. You know, just show me all the facts. And the Lord said, I'm going to do it this way in your life. A man by the name of McDonald wrote, God hides nothing. His very work from the beginning is revelation. A casting aside of veil after veil, a showing to men of truth after truth. On and on from fact divine he advances until at length in his Son Jesus he unveils his very face. On and on. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I mean, and God's just scattering that seed and opening your heart a little bit at a time. If all of a sudden you got saved and the next minute you knew everything about God, that's not how it works, amen? But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's no other way to grow, only by that word. He talks about a little bit, removing one veil and then another one. When I counsel, and I've learned this, because I've studied and I've had mentors, et cetera, and I believe it's a Bible principle, like I've just mentioned. But sometimes when you're dealing with somebody and they can't see the issues or the problems, you have to peel an onion. And you just take one skin off after another until you really get to the cause, because sometimes we don't see. And we all need counselors. Amen? Nobody has arrived. Paul said that. We all need that word of God. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story about Elisha, and he and his servant are in a city called Dothan, and the enemy has surrounded the city. And Elisha's servant is scared. He says, alas, master, we perish. This is bad. We're going to get it in the neck. And you have to really study to pull that out of the text, but that was a joke. You were supposed to laugh at that. Okay, moving right along. Anyway, he knows his servant is afraid, and so this is what Elisha says. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. What did he see? The host of the Lord. Prior to that prayer, he didn't see it. You know, there's somebody praying for you. Amen? And we ought to be praying for other people because God answers prayer. So he prayed for this other person. If God be for us, who can be against us? You ever read that verse in a trial and say, God's for us, who can be against us? We get our eyes off the enemy and on the power of God. Someone else's prayers. We have Psalm 119, verse 18. These are our own prayers. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's a desire, a personal desire for the truth. We want God to show us something. God, open my eyes. But that doesn't negate praying for other people. Open their eyes. Amen? But if you get the beam out of your own eye, then you're going to see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye. It's okay. Amen? But we have to be able to see our own. So we pray that prayer. We come to Acts 26, 18. This was Paul's ministry that God gave him. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Open his eyes, open my eyes, open their eyes. But what's the common denominator? Open eyes. And only God can do that. Amen? You ever sit with somebody and you talk the Bible or something, and I mean, you can go on and on and on, they just don't see it. Well, you can't make somebody see it. So you pray for them. Amen? And sometimes their eyes won't open for a week, a month, a year, a decade, maybe even longer. To open their eyes. What a revelation when your eyes are open. Listen, this ought to be an everyday occurrence. My wife and I have certain devotionals that we read together, and amazing. Bingo. You know, just the right thing. Oh, and we were talking about that on the way to church today. But we need not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. Otherwise, we're going to forget what we read. And we're going to have this sermon, and what a lovely song. And we go out, and boy, yeah, that spoke to me. Then we apply it, and then it changes our life. What a revelation. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is risen, but they don't know that. They think he was crucified. They think he's dead in the tomb. And Luke 24, 32, they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? In verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. God, Jesus, opened their understanding. And then later they went to the other disciples and they opened these two disciples who now understood were able to open the understanding of their other friends. Amen? And if you get it, you get it and you share it. Acts chapter 16. And the woman named Lydia, seller of purple, a city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, Paul, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken. My grandmother, she was an old-fashioned Methodist, Ida. She went to an old-fashioned Methodist church. And Ida likes that. She likes that old-fashioned preaching. Amen? And Bible preaching. And my grandmother was like that. And she gave me a Bible when I was confirmed, 12 years old. I didn't know the Lord. I just went through the classes. But the verse that she wrote in the flyleaf was Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That verse means a lot to me because I didn't get it at one time in my life, but I get it now. Amen. And he is here today. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's speaking today. This is his word. It's a spirit of God. And he wants to enlighten. He wants to open our eyes, open our understanding as we open the scriptures. There's a treasure in Matthew 13. There's a parable about treasure in the field. And it's hid. And a man finds that it's there. And so he goes and sells everything that he has to buy that treasure. Because he knows that's really valuable. In one of the verses, it goes on, and then it says in verse 46 about a man that found one pearl of great price, and he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. why? Why would he sell everything he has to buy one pearl? Because of the value of that one pearl. Because of the value of the treasure that was in that field. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. You have 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He is precious. 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ. 2 Peter 1:14, his precious promise. Psalm 126:6, his precious seed. What a revelation. When that book becomes precious, and when he becomes precious, and some of the old songs, you know, we get so used to them. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a blessing. So let's start today with our salvation. It's a good place to start. Amen. So great a salvation. What a precious gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. In heaven, forever, eternal life, everlasting life. No sin, no sorrow. What a blessing. And one day, if you're saved, that is going to be your eternal home. Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then it goes on in this great, great chapter, Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. It goes on a little bit later and says, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. You have, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And when God sees it, he shall be satisfied. The whole chapter is about what Christ did for us, or what he was going to do at that time of that prophecy. But he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, so we know it was going to happen. There's a story in Acts chapter 8. Where there's an Ethiopian eunuch and he's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip joins the chariot God just did that out of his providence. And says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man guide me? And so Philip was declaring unto him or preaching unto him, that's what the text says, Jesus. Because Philip knew that. And pretty soon God opened the eunuch's heart. Because of what he heard, and he wanted to know the truth. Amen. I say, if you want to know the truth today, you can know it. If you ask, he'll answer. If you knock, he'll open. If you seek, you'll find. He said, if you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. We have add to your faith. We have that you may grow thereby. We have things that accompany salvation, grow in grace and knowledge, all the verses. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men, but God hath revealed those things unto us. Barnes writes, men by nature are not able to discover the deep things of God. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. You might be an engineer. You might be a rocket scientist, you know? And when I went into the ministry, I had to give up that profession. I was a rocket scientist. You can be so intelligent and miss the things of God because they're for the humble, they're for babes, they're for those that are seeking. It's amazing. I've heard stories, and I better not get into all of them. Oh, you know what? I was going to have Kim give her testimony before I spoke. See, he gives this to babes, amen? So there will be time at the end of this, and Kim will give her testimony. God bless you. Is that what you were trying to get my attention over? Amen. Next time, throw a songbook. Amen. And after the service, you'll have my letter of resignation. Okay. God, see what he revealed to me right there? Amen. I don't think it was God that revealed that. But anyway. In John 16:12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. So the Lord knows how to teach us. If you're a kindergarten teacher, what class do you teach, Teresa? Kindergarten, all right. You can't teach a high school curriculum to a kindergartner. You have to get those basics down, amen, and get them excited about learning. And they enjoy that atmosphere. And boy, look what I learned today. My wife used to teach kindergarten. Those kids got so excited. That's what we were as new converts. But as we desire that knowledge and that closeness to God, we keep that spirit. John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Thy word is truth. John 16:14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He will guide, he will show, he will teach. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What a blessing that is. That's a work of the Spirit. It says the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It says the mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when you find Christ, you find the wisdom. You say, well, I want the wisdom first. You can't have the wisdom first. You accept Christ as your Savior. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you begin to understand. Unto you which believe, I quote all the time, unto you which believe, he is precious. Well, he's not precious to me. I would look at that. I would look at that. I would see what is in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. As touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Okay. I got to stay here because of the mic. We need better fellowship. We need to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen? We need better homes. We need, men, you need to know better how to take care of your wife and treat your wife. Wives, you need to know how to be a better wife. Children, honor your parents. Amen? All of these different things, right? You can know what it says, but when God teaches us, it's a different principle. Amen? There is a blessing to that. Well, turn to 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll start the message today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, for they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lies of the truth. So he's writing, not because they don't know the truth. They already know the truth, but he's adding. Amen? He's teaching. When that heart knows Christ, when it's open to the truth, it's amazing what God can show you. It goes on and says, who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even it is as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. It goes on. There's such a tremendous thing here. God teaches us. You don't have to go to a class for God to teach you something. That's why thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Amen. You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper spiritually. Amen? I mean, he's going to grow spiritually. Matthew 22, he said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. 26, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Luke 24, he expounded unto them all the scriptures. John 5, search the scriptures. Acts 17, reason with them out of the scriptures. Acts 17, 11, search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Amen? Tell us what the Bible says about flying saucers. Not a whole lot. Okay, new sermon. Amen? There's people that's all they want to talk about. Well, I think, tell us where in the Bible it talks about America in the last days. I got one verse for you. And I'm not even sure of that one. Amen? So we move off of that. Well, you know, I'm going to argue with you about the 10 toes. I don't think it's this. I think, who cares? Amen? I mean, I know what I believe about it, but it's not going to affect your salvation, the 10 toes. You say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Maybe that's good. Amen? And we get off all of this stuff. Take time to be holy. Worship Him. Glorify Him. Let God use your life to bring someone else to Christ. The Bible is the infallible revelation of the infallible God. What a blessing. That means it's entirely trustworthy. Amen? John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, purified 7 times, the Bible says. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Proverbs 30, every word of God is pure. Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You can't miss it. You just can't miss it. Well, I want more knowledge. I want more study. And that's fine. That's good. You can read. You can study. You can learn all of that. But God has to open the heart. When we open our Bibles, let's open our heart. And then God will just pour His truth in. And it will become precious because you will see things that just, they're marvelous. They're wonderful. The Bible just proves itself. John Owen wrote, I own no knowledge of God nor of Christ but what is revealed in the Word. How do we know this? The Bible. Why do we live like this? The Bible. Why do we have hope in this? The Bible. Amen? It's the precious, precious Word of God. Revelation is more than the last book in the Bible. It is the life of the believer. The life of the believer. And as we read it, as we study it, as we open ourselves to it, God gives us precious, precious things. And the light bulbs come on. They'll just keep coming on. Amen? I'm going to ask Kim to come at this time, if she would. And she's going to give a testimony. And I think you'll really be blessed by this. Kim is a special, special friend. I love her a lot. She is precious. God bless you.
So anyway, I woke up late this morning. So I jotted down some things. But I do have a testimony. It's how God changed my heart. I'm going to start out with a prayer. Father God, I just let the words of my mouth and be accepted in my sight, Lord. And may the Holy Spirit speak through me and let somebody be held by this today. In your precious name, amen. Now Revelation 12:11 says, and they came, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that's why I'm here today, because I have overcame so much since I've been saved, and I had a very dysfunctional life, and I was on drugs and alcohol and fornication and having fun. It's what I grew up seeing, so I didn't know anything else. I didn't know there was another life out there. My mother played the organ in a Methodist church for 35 years. Oh.
Stop you one second. Would this ringing be coming from Richard's thing? Would it be because of this? No. Is it going? No, it's still. Can you hear it? Better?
Okay, so my mom played the organ in a Methodist church for 35 years, and I grew up in the church, but I never knew about salvation. I thought, you know, I went to church for the Sunday school cookies, and you're rolling under the pews and doing whatever a kid does. But I remember things from church, but nothing about salvation. So I went and lived my life like everybody else lived. It was just about having a good time and laughing, and it was more of a coping mechanism, I later found out, because I like to laugh and joke a lot. It got bad. I got into the meth. For like 20 years, and I just didn't want to live anymore. My sister had my kids, and I didn't have time. I didn't have time for them. My marriage fell apart. I was on my own. And my mother didn't have a mother to show her how to be a mother. So how could our mom show us how to be a mom? So I'm in a world I had no idea what to do but mess up. I was good at that. I was good at messing up. And I was okay with that because I just felt like I was a mistake anyway. So I went out and I bought a gun. And I got really high, and I just wanted to end my life. Now, mind you, a couple weeks before that, I got this tape in the mail. And I had a whole bag, a paper sack full of cassette tapes. And yeah, I'm that old. And I just threw it in there. And it's just another tape. And that day, I just needed some music, because I was a coward. But I needed something to help me get a little bit angrier so I could do what I wanted to do and just end it. And I grabbed the sack, pulled it over to me to get a tape out, and it ripped. And all these tapes, they just stayed in a pile. And the only one that fell out was the church tape, right on the floor by my feet. So I picked it up and I put it in. It was Pastor Delmark, and he was talking about all the things I was feeling in that counseling, so I called. And I said, what kind of counseling you do? He goes, what kind of counseling you need? And it wasn't even an hour after I talked to him, Linda was right there and got me. I went to the church and we talked, and I got saved. That was August 14th, 1994, 8:30 at night. And I thought that was the end. I thought everything's gonna be okay now. I'm saved, I'm a child of God. Come at me, I dare you. But it got harder. I went to the roll-off homes and I was there for almost a year. All we did was God, Bible, meditation, or memorization. I could recite 52 chapters of the Bible when I left there. Not verses, chapters. At one time I could recite Hebrews 11, the entire book. Now I may know a few fierce verses, but I'm losing my mind, memory and stuff, but it got harder, and I couldn't understand the Bible at first. I was just really upset because I couldn't understand it, and everybody else was, and Miss Thorne told me to pray about it, and she was a lady at the roll-up home, so I did, and the lady had told me once she would close her Bible, and she would pray to God, and just let it drop open, and put her fingers on Mary, and when she opened her eyes, she would read where her finger was. So I went in my room, and I tried that. Because I couldn't understand the Bible. Be thou, though, you know. And I did that, and this verse popped up and said, be still, and in time I'll make all things known unto you. I was like, oh my gosh, he talked to me. I was running around here telling everybody, he said, God talked to me, God talked to me. He's going to let me know all things in time. I am so excited about this. So now I want to know more, I'm doing more. Now I'm knowing, and I started understanding the Bible. Now I'm excited. And I couldn't memorize enough. We were supposed to have a memorization contest, but we never did. But things happened. I had to come home. And I was living at my sister's, and she had a house full as it was. And she had five kids running around there, and me and my three, so I was living in the basement. And at first, you know, I was just trying to show the kids the love of God, and we sang songs, and I found a job, and I was doing everything I was supposed to do, and staying that virtuous woman, and staying away from people, and time went on, and nothing was changing. And I started getting on my sister's nerves, and we weren't getting along too well. And so I went to the church and told Pastor Delmark I was ready to throw my Bible in the garbage. And he said, you might as well have came in here and slapped me across the face. And I said, but where's my blessings at? I want my blessings. I've been doing whatever I had to do, and I'm living in a basement with three kids, and nothing's changed. And he said, well, you know the story of Job. I go, Job didn't live with my sister. I said, if he did, that whole book would have been rewrote. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. He called me Doubting Thomas for the longest time. But it was through all this that the love of people not giving up on me, because I gave up on me. And I was reading the Bible and I was trying to learn. I found out the more I knew, the more I was responsible for. I quit. I didn't want to know no more. I put the Bible away. I put God away. I didn't want to hear him. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to be around nobody that was even, I didn't want to know no more. And it worked for a while. Then God has, he has his ways. I'm out mushrooming, and there's this little girl. And she's singing, she wasn't singing songs, so I started singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. She asked me who does. And I said, Jesus. She says, who's that? I've never in my life met a child that didn't know who Jesus was. So I had to tell her, and I go, good one, God. You just got me right back into where I didn't want to be, but God's plan is perfect, and his timing is perfect, and he knows what it takes to get us where he wants us. And when I walked away from him, that was the loneliest and darkest time of my life, because once you experience God and his love, and you walk away from it, you'll never be the same again. You'll either die from loneliness and darkness, or you'll go crazy. Because I was in a constant battle with my soul and my spirit, because I'm looking for something that I don't know what I'm looking for, because I've never had it. And they took me to a family over the Elliots. And it's the first time I've ever been in a Christian home. And I'm just watching. And I see Mr. Elliot cry when he was singing a song. I've never seen a man cry before. And I was just like, this is really weird. These people are weird. We played a Boggle. And, you know, I'm nervous enough. I don't even want to talk because I don't even know how to talk. You know, what am I going to say something wrong because I'm from the street and these people are God's people. And Miss Elliot saved me because I picked out the word homo. And she goes, oh, homo sapien, that's such a good word. And I never forgot that. Because that showed me just where my mind was and where they were. And I used to always say, before I got saved, well, if God judges the heart, I ain't got nothing to worry about because I'm a good person. I help people. I'm not selfish. I give the shirt off my back if I needed to. And then God revealed my heart. And I was very ashamed and humbled by it. I didn't have a good heart. My motives were all wrong. And so through all this, I'm in church, I'm out of church. I'm in church, I'm out of church. And no matter what, the church always welcomed me back. Always. And my mom died. And my dad died. And I lost the family home. And I gave up. I went to the street. I was homeless. And I got back into the dope. And I was using needles. And I ended up in prison. And I thought that I'd hit my lowest again. But that was where God wanted me. He wanted me to sit down. And he just wanted me to be still. And that's what I did for 2 years. I didn't have anybody to push me, to tell me what to do, to direct me. It was on me. But for the first time in my life, I saw myself. And I am a good person. And I'm not the horrible things I thought I was, so I didn't have to be that person anymore. And it was okay to be loved. When I got out of prison, a lady from the jail ministry took me into her home, Valerie Burroughs, and she just still to this day, that woman does not give up. She does not give up, and the ladies of the church don't give up, and the people praying, and I just watched how God worked through them to help me through. They were my faith. They were my strength. They were there when I needed them, and when I wasn't there for myself, and when I wasn't praying, they were. And when I said, I can't do this no more, they said, yes, you can, and we'll do it for you until you can. They never gave up, and things just started, like you said, my eyes started opening, and God would let me see what he wanted me to see when it was time to see it, and I needed to quit trying to figure it out. I needed to quit trying to make it right. I just needed to love myself and love God and love people and be loved in return, and when you can change that, things start changing in your mind, in your life. I used to think I could still be saved, go to church, but yet hang with the same crowd. I'm going to save somebody. And I brought a couple to church, and that's all I wanted them to do was just hear the word. But it pulled me back down again. Now I'm thinking, this, I ain't ever going to get this right. And why bother? I'm not worth heaven. I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of salvation. And I'm a fool to think any otherwise. But God saw that differently. And he's just been so good to me lately. And he's a good God. And he comes in love through us. And if it wasn't for the people in my life that I've lost, met along the way, and their prayers and their example, it's so important to not give up on people. Because if they would have gave up, I wouldn't be here today. I'm going through cancer. I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through a lot of things, but I prayed to God to save me from my enemies, and I lost friends. I don't fit in there anymore. I'm only feel right when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm only comfortable there, where I used to be uncomfortable. I only feel understood there, wanted there. They've always been open-armed and loving, and I used to say, why are you guys being so nice to me? I mean, I thought that that was a dysfunctional thing, to love somebody and to be loved by somebody, because it just didn't happen for me. And everything, every day is a struggle. The preacher told me once, if the devil's messing with you, you're doing something right. Because apparently, if you're doing something wrong, he wouldn't have no reason to mess with you. And the devil messes with me every day, all day long. Just to get here today, I almost said forget it, because it was just, everything was happening. You wouldn't believe the stuff it was happening. But I just press on because my spirit won't let me stop. And God won't give up. He just will not let up. That story where the one that wrestles with the angel and gets his hip put out. And yeah, that's me. And I just keep going back to that spot thinking that I'm going to fight my way through. And God's like, it ain't happening. So just stop. Just stop, Kim. Just stop it. And let me love you. And the thing I won't forget the most is being without him. It doesn't happen like that. I know that for the longest time I tried to convince myself that my addiction wasn't hurting anybody, and I'm just having fun, you know. God loves us unconditionally. Why can't he love me if I'm on dope? And well, this is God's body, not mine. This is his temple, and I was hurting myself, and it became my God. It interfered with everything. And it's definitely something from the devil, and it's definitely a very strong and mind-altering thing that is going on out there. I just pray for all those people that are out there on that today. But the one thing that really got me was when I was in prison, and I was always in my Bible, and people seen that, they started coming to me asking me questions, and I knew where to find the answers. And I was so thrilled with that, because they were coming to me. I mean, I'm Kim Alexander. I I'm a 20-year addict. You're coming and asking me questions about something. And they started coming more and more. And I'm like, I just couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. And then a lady told me before she left to go home, she said, Kim, every time I open my Bible, I will think about you. I was like, what an honor. What an honor. And I learned when I was in there that no matter how evil, and no matter how bad of a decision people make, they have a heart, and they hurt, and they cry, and they just, they lose hope. And when you lose hope, you're hopeless. And I found out that, you know, a lifetime without knowing God is a meaningless life. It has no meaning at all. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you've done. It's meaningless. And if all I had was just that one day of knowing God, it made it all worth it. Because 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done with love. And it was God's love that pulled me through. It was God's love through people. So don't give up on people, ever. If God wants them, he's going to get them. Because I'm telling you, I thought I could do this on my own and yet stay saved. And it doesn't work like that. It does get harder. But because there's more reward in the end. The good stuff don't come easy. And I got a long way to go. And like you said, Pastor Delmar, the older you get, the more it lets you know. And sometimes I just sit and I just think, wonder what tomorrow brings. I wonder what the Lord's going to show me today because, wow. I'm looking over here, he's working over there because I think I got it figured out. And it wasn't, I had no idea. And the things that he puts me through are the things that I would never, what I'd ever be through. My Sunday school class, there's a guy there named, his name's Barry McDonald. I don't know if you know Barry nearly. He grew up in the same town I did, and he was part of that community that just judged me. And I now sit at the same table as him at the church, and he teaches the Sunday school class. And I told people, I go, if someone told me I'd be sitting here next to him in his church a long time ago, I'd been, no. It's not happening. So it's just those little miracles that come along. And I talked to a person once, like 20 years ago, that was sitting alone, and I never saw this person again until at a gas station, and came up and he wanted to thank me for taking the time, because he was at a moment where nobody was acknowledging him, and he felt really out of place, and he said, you were the only one, Kim, that came up and said anything. And it was just that 1 minute of kindness that changed somebody's life. And it's through prayers and people like you that saved the lost, and that's what we're here for. Even though some that wander aren't lost, they're just Pastor Delmar.
What a precious soul. Well, the Lord has the events of the day planned, and I'm happy that the service worked out this way, where she could speak at the end. We're going to, in just a minute, I'm going to have Kim come and just kneel down here in the front, and I'm going to ask our ladies to just gather around her and put your arm around her, just touch her with your hand. Not everybody can kneel around her, but maybe you can reach through and just touch her. And I'm going to pray for her. And as we do, all of the men, you can just stay seated and you can pray silently with us. But she is a blessing. And if our whole ministry, Linda, was just for Kim. Such a blessing. If you'll come. Yes, Teresa.
Could I just ask that real quick?
Yeah.
I just feel like I need to say this. Because of what God did for them and what they did for Kim did for my son. My son was 15. And just like any 15-year-old, he knew everything. He was known about everything. And he saw Kim's change. He saw that life. And he thought,
Big boy.
And we lost him 5 years later in an accident. But it was only because of what had happened that he was saved, and I know all people did.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And you know, the person, like, when the Apostle Paul got saved, Stephen was put to death. Stephen was being stoned, and his testimony led to the salvation of the Apostle Paul and hundreds and thousands of people, etc., were saved because of the Apostle Paul's ministry. Be faithful in witnessing. Amen. And we'll ask our ladies, if you have a mask, put that on, and then just come up here. And Kim, you come up, and if any of you ladies would like to come and just gather around here, we'll just pray. She is a precious, precious soul. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we all, Linda and I, sure love Kim, and I'm sure our people now today have fallen in love with her. And we know how much you love her, Lord. Thank you so much for saving her. Thank you for the providence, all that was involved in that time where that bag ripped open and a tape fell out. Such a little thing that you've used in her life and as the story is told in others' lives. Bless her today, Father. May she fill our prayers from this moment on. Lord, we know as believers we'll all be together someday. We may never see Kim again in this life, but we know we'll spend eternity with her. I pray that as we pray for her, as our ladies have gathered around her, that she'll feel our love, and that love will strengthen her and help her. And it'll be a blessing to us too. God, how we love you and how we appreciate your precious promises. Thank you for our great, great salvation. And please bless Kim in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Praise the Lord. And Nancy, you got saved at our church too, didn't you? Yeah. July 4th. Yeah. We were only there a year. Not even a year. Wow. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Such a blessing. You were saved when you came to church, right? Or did you get saved at our church? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ah, heaven's going to be wonderful. Amen. Don't forget about these precious ladies. Amen. Pray for them often. And we'll just be dismissed in prayer. And then we'll have our business meeting, or after we're dismissed. Father, thank you for this day. Please, please bless now. In Jesus' name. Amen.